It's great to be here. Close your eyes. What do you see? What do you see? Exactly. Blindness. If you think about it for a second, it's a lot of nothingness. When you can't see, you're blind. How are you to navigate? How are you to walk? Now, of course, I'm not talking so much about physical blindness, but I'm talking today about spiritual blindness. So the question goes, if you're spiritually blind, how are you to navigate your Christian walk? The simple answer is that you can't. It's impossible. Being spiritually blind is not a good thing. Being spiritually blind is being lost. Have you ever felt lost? Have you ever felt lonely? And when you're going through that, there seems to always be a certain amount of fear. You don't really have a sense of what's going on. And when you're lost, all you can focus on is that you're lost. Now, I'm going to use just kind of an example. And I'm going to be bouncing around in today's lesson a little bit, but I'm going to be proving some points, so hopefully you like it. And hopefully it comes out in a way that's easy for you guys to understand. If you're in the woods at night, it's pitch black. You don't have a flashlight. You don't have a phone. One of the things that they say in a survival situation that you're supposed to do is stay put. You're supposed to stay in one spot. That way you don't get more lost or deeper into a bad situation. Now, this may be true as a survival technique, but when it comes to our spiritual walk, the last thing that we want to do is stay put. Now, imagine if you're lost in that woods, but I see a light. It's real distant. Well, usually that light is going to lead you somewhere. And the closer that you get to that light, the brighter it shines. Today I'm going to be talking to you about vision. Not about blindness, but about vision. And vision, defined as the faculty or state of being able to see, the ability to think about or plan the future with imagination or wisdom. And I think we can all think about the importance of how important it is just to see, how much of an effect that it has on our lives, and what a wonderful blessing sight is. Spiritually, when we have vision, we're able to look at what's ahead of us. We're able to prepare. We're able to strengthen ourselves. If you turn with me, please, to 2 Peter, the first chapter, verses 5 through 10. Again, 2 Peter 1, 5 through 10, it says, "For this very reason, make every effort to supplement your faith with virtue, and with virtue, knowledge, and knowledge with self-control, and self-control with steadfastness, and steadfastness with godliness, and godliness with brotherly affection, and brotherly affection with love. For if these qualities are yours and are increasing, they keep you from being ineffective or unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. For whoever lacks these qualities is so nearsighted that he is blind, having forgotten that he was cleansed from his former sins. Therefore, brothers, be all the more diligent to confirm your calling and election. For if you practice these qualities, you will never fall." There are so many things that we can get from this verse in terms of how are we supposed to have a quote-unquote proper vision. To break down this verse a little bit, supplement means to enhance. We are to use these traits to make our faith better. We need virtue, that is purity, to act the way that we need to act and the way that we think, showing that we have a standard and a way to behave. And running with that, we need self-control, which is hard for many people, But what that means is that we're able to keep our emotions in check. We don't let our emotions cloud our judgment. We don't act out of malice or passion. We do everything that we can in order to contain those desires, which lead us many times to sin. And with that, we need steadfastness. I preached one time about stuff that my dad taught me, the keep plugging away. That's steadfastness, that we're going to keep going, that we're going to go through the long haul. We're going to hold true in what we believe in. And we're going to be focused on what our goal is. And our goal is, of course, pleasing God and getting to heaven. Speaking of which, we need to be godly. And that means that we're showing our God and Father in heaven. Jeez. The proper respect, the proper love. And we're living life the way that he would have us live, which is to be a mirror of what his son did. Brotherly affection is that we are to be with one accord with another, looking out for one another, supporting each other, and if we have these qualities, if we're striving and we're growing, we're going to grow stronger and stronger in the Word of God. And then we can become strong Christians. And we are effective and have the understanding of how to go through life, how to grow and how to make it to heaven. And when we're confirming our calling and election, sure, you are accepting God's invitation to have a relationship with him and his son. But if we don't have these qualities, if we're not growing in these qualities, we're lost and we're blind. And remember that these qualities that we have are to be increasing. We're to be working on them. We're to be looking for opportunities to grow these things. We're to be studying and growing stronger. We talked this morning a little bit in class about a baby and how a baby needs milk. They can't give them solid food. But as they go on, they start eating more food. They start getting more nutrition. They start getting stronger. They start getting bigger. We need to be remembering that we need to have a hunger in us. We need to have a hunger that we're going to grow stronger with God in a relationship. So having vision is not an easy thing. And we all know that sometimes it can be very hard to focus on the future. We get really caught up, you know, in terms of what's going on in our lives. So I'm going to talk a little bit about nearsightedness. Now, nearsightedness seems to be a lot of, when we look out into the world, a lot of what people are going through, it's all about that instant gratification. Not really a huge amount of long-term goals, and they're living for the present. The young kids call it YOLO. You only live once. Is that the attitude that we're supposed to be having? We live in a time, unfortunately, where people are pretty selfish. When I was thinking about this, I was thinking about, you know, I remember when I was a kid and I went to the movie theaters. Now you would think if you go and sit in the front row of a movie theater, it's the best seat in the house. You're right there. The front row is the worst seat. And my neck hurt after that one. Sometimes we're so close to something that you can't see it. We're so close. You know, I was in a relationship where there was a lot of stuff that went on. And there were many times that I was just too close that I couldn't see the things that were going on. And it didn't matter what people would tell me. It didn't matter what I would hear. I didn't see it. But unfortunately, or fortunately, whichever way you really want to put it, when you're able to take a step back, I'm able to move back. Now I see the big picture. Things come a little bit clearer. and things that I didn't think were going on, or things that I wouldn't recognize were going on when I was able to take a step back. It punches you in the chest. And I think we've all been in, whether it's relationship with a family member or whatever, we've all been in situations where you're just a little too close to something that maybe you just choose not to believe it, or maybe you just don't take that step back. You just take it at face value. Why is that? Well, sometimes we just plain may not see it. And again, the second can be that we reject it. And unfortunately, in this world, being blind and not having proper vision is out of choice. A lot of people just don't care. You know, in that relationship, I saw the truth at a certain point and just chose, you know what? I'm not going to pay attention to it. That didn't do me any good. You know, you talk about having proper vision and spiritual welfare, and many are blind because it's a choice. You know, Jesus says in the Bible that you have eyes, but you don't see. So what I'm saying with nearsightedness, when you're getting too close to something, you have to be able to look at things for what they truly are. Not ignore the truth. You have to be able to take a step back and recognize that I'm too close to this, so I can't see properly. And I'm not saying that it's not okay to enjoy the things that we have in life. Of course it is. You know, God has blessed us with a lot of great things, both spiritual and physical. We're blessed with many things, and it's okay to appreciate those, but is that what your attention is on? Is that what your focus is on? We're to be vigilant, and we're to look out for things that may cause us to stumble. In Matthew, the 27th chapter, in verse 23, and this is just to, again, double down on the people see the truth, but they do nothing about it, or they don't follow it. In Matthew 27:23, it says, "And Pilate said, 'Why, what evil has he done?' But all the more they shouted, 'Let him be crucified.'" He was asking, well, what wrong did this guy do? And he still let them crucify Jesus. What did he even do? I'm also reminded of the sower of the seed, and Jesus talks about the importance that we need to place on understanding and having that knowledge and making sure that we're in the right environment. Some may hear the word of God and they like it, but they don't put their roots down. They don't have the proper understanding. They don't nurture that plant. They don't nurture that growth. They just think that it's just going to happen, Or maybe they hear these words and they don't think that it's necessary to truly understand. If you'd turn with me, please, to Matthew, the 13th chapter, verses 10 through 14. It reads, "Then the disciples came and said to him, 'Why do you speak to them in parables?' And he answered to them, To you it has been given to know the secrets of the kingdom of heaven, but to them it has not been given. For to the one who has, more will be given, and he will have an abundance. But from those who has not, even what he has will be taken away. This is why I speak to them in parables, because seeing they do not see, and hearing they do not hear, nor do they understand. Indeed, in the case of the prophecy of Isaiah is fulfilled and says, you will indeed hear, but never understand, and you will indeed see, but never perceive.'" It all centers around the knowledge of Jesus Christ. It means knowing Jesus on a personal level. We have to remember that our relationship is on Jesus' terms. And if you want to be able to see Christ, you have to know him. The pages of the Word of God have to come alive in you, and that means that you're working hard for the Lord, that you're going to stick by the Lord in the good times and the bad times, and that we are to be willing to take whatever comes. Unfortunately, we live in a world where, you know, Christians are persecuted for their faith and practicing their faith. That's happening. Are we doing everything that we can to grow stronger? Are we doing everything that we can to grow in the knowledge? Are we doing everything that we can to show God's love? Are we doing whatever we can to serve him? In 2 Peter, the first chapter, in verse 3, he points out that, you know, we've been given all the tools in order to see properly. His divine power has granted to us all the things that pertain to life and godliness through the knowledge of him who called us to his own glory and excellence. So it's evident that there's a danger that we have when being too close to something. We're too nearsighted that we're not able to focus on the big picture. And we have to remember that we get vision by the grace of God. God is the one that gives us sight. And he gives us everything that we could possibly need. He's given us the ability to have knowledge of him and his son. How amazing is that? Some find out that they are nearsighted, so you can take a step back. Now, if we look at our lives and we're looking in the mirror of how we are to act, and we're being honest with ourselves, it's hard many times to be objective, to take feelings out of everything. It's easy to make excuses as to why I can't see or I didn't see that. Are you looking to the future and focusing on this is what I need to do in order to make it to heaven? Farsightedness. Now, we know that, you know, we are to have our affections and our goals in the future of getting to heaven. But that doesn't mean that we live in a make-believe world. You can't see up close, or you can't see far away either. We need to help one another, and we need to realize that there's still a lot of work to do in the present. What we do in this life, we're going to have to answer for, and we need to be able to put in the work. So if you're just focused on the future, well, what are you doing right now? What are you working towards right now? How are you growing? How are you getting better right now? We can't have our heads in the clouds and be walking in an unrealistic manner. We are charged with making our election sure. We are needing to do the work and understand that our mission is to bring light into the world and walk in the light ourselves. Make sure that we're planning goals. And, you know, you hear people that say, well, I got a 5-year plan. Well, where is God in that 5-year plan? Is God in your future? Is God in your future goals? Are you centering your life around, this is how I'm going to serve God? A lot of people, when you ask them what their goals are, they seem to be purely financial. The goal that we have is that we're using the scripture and we're using God's word in our everyday lives, that we're being able to see, and we're being able to put in the work and put in the action in order to make it to heaven. In Galatians, the 6th chapter, in verse 9. Galatians 6 and verse 9, it says, and let us not grow weary of doing good, for in due season we will reap if we do not give up. And, you know, going back to our main scripture reading, if we don't have these things, if we don't have the things listed in that Bible verse, then we're blind. How are you going to make it to heaven when you're blind? If you're going down a path, if I was walking through here at night and there are no lights on, there's a chance that I'm going to run into something. And the great thing about having vision, and being able to see things correctly is that will in turn cause action in us. When we set a goal and when we have a vision, we'll do whatever we can to get there. We're able to go through life knowing where we're going. We're able to navigate through the highways and byways of life. And here's the great thing. We have a light. If you turn with me to Psalm, the 119th Psalm in verse 105, it says, "Your word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path." We don't have to be blind. We have a light with us. Now, when you have the vision or when you're thinking about what a Christian is, what does that look like to you? Does it resemble you? I think there are many, many things and qualities that we think about when we're thinking about a Christian. Does that match the way that we act? Some people have blurred vision. Some people are easily distracted, and they can't or they won't focus on the right things. We live in a world that's blind. And they're either not knowing or they're just not understanding the proper way to go through life. But we have the light that will guide us if we would only share it. Our goal is to have 20/20 vision. That's what we are to strive for. We need to be able to make those long-term goals in serving God, and we need to be willing to put in the work of serving God. Like I said before, many are out there and they're blind. They just can't see. But don't worry, because just as Jesus had the power to heal the blind man in John 9, he has the power through his word to make you see. Through his word, you'll find life. You won't have to walk through this life alone anymore. Some may find out that, you know what, my vision's pretty good. Or that you're nearsighted or farsighted. If you look at yourself truly look at yourself and be honest with yourself. Look at your vision and look what you need to do to fix it. We sing a song that we're actually going to sing as the song of invitation. It says, "Amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now I'm found. Was blind, but now I see. Was grace that taught my heart to fear, and grace my fears relieved. How precious did that grace appear the hour I first believed. Through many dangers, toils, and snares, we have already come. 'Twas grace that brought us safe thus far, and grace will lead us home. And grace will lead us home. Amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now I'm found. Was blind, but now I see." I know this one went a little quick, but the main point of everything is that we're to use the tools that we have. Jesus is our tool. And Jesus is going to help us see. We have to be able to do the proper look at ourselves to see, am I doing things the right way? We never want to close without an invitation. If you look at yourself and you say, you know what, I'm not focusing on the things properly that I need to focus on, I ask that you'd come believing that Jesus is the answer to that solution, that he can help you see. And that you would stand and sing the song of invitation.